Good evening. It's a joy to be up here as we look forward to the Easter season that's right upon us. So if you came tonight expecting to hear another message on questions Jesus asked, we're going to take a short break from that tonight because we're now in the Easter season and we should be focusing more at the great sacrifice that Jesus did on our behalf nearly 2,000 years ago. And as a consequence tonight, I'm going to look at a lesser-known character in the Easter story, one that doesn't get a lot of mention in Easter time, but we read about a man called Simon of Cyrene who carried Jesus' cross on the way to Golgotha. This story here is recorded in three of the Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And for tonight's sake, I want to look at the scriptures in the book of Mark. Mark 15:21 says, "And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross." There's not a lot of details in right here, but it does mention that the man's name was Simon, and that he was from Cyrene, and the Romans had compelled him to pick up and carry the cross that Jesus had been carrying. Mark also mentioned that he was the father of two boys, Alexander and Rufus. You know, when I'm reading through the Bible, and I know myself there too sometimes, it's amazing how sometimes we kind of just breeze through these small details to get on to the really good stuff that's coming up. But you know, at Easter time, think of the messages and what we study. We talk about the Last Supper. We talk about Judas's betrayal. We talk about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We talk about the trials. We talk about the crucifixion. We talk about the resurrection. But rarely do we ever mention Simon of Cyrene. So I thought tonight we'd take a short moment and look at this particular character. I call him Mystery Man because we're not giving a lot of details about his life. But I still think he's important to the Easter story. He wouldn't be in the Bible if he wasn't. Everything in the Bible is for our benefit. You know, one reason it's very easy to overlook Simon is because the three Gospels that mention him don't devote a lot of scriptures to him. In fact, those three Gospels each only devote one verse of scripture towards mentioning of him. But yet, we should take a moment to look, consider this man, this mysterious man that carried the cross of Jesus. And I picked Mark's account because it has more details than the other two about Simon. And I find that's quite interesting, because if you read through the Gospels, you'll see that Mark's account in the Gospel is the very shortest of the four Gospels. And his account is very quick-moving. It just moves quickly. It's action-packed. It goes from scene to scene very quickly. And rarely does Mark stop to give any additional or specific details. And when he does, generally that's worth taking a moment to consider why Mark added them. Because you look at there is, why did Mark add the detail about that Simon had two sons? Well, we'll come to that. But I think there's three things worth considering and that's revealed in Mark's verse right here about Simon. The first thing is, I want to mention the Simon's origin. It said in Mark 15:21, Simon was of Cyrene. Perhaps we're not familiar with where Cyrene is. It was a city back in biblical times. It does not exist today, but if you were to look for it, it would be in the modern country of Libya. Most of us remember Libya in the news from where we talked about the U.S. is at war with Gaddafi, but that was where Cyrene was at that time. It was in northern Africa. We can safely assume that Simon was a worshiper of God. Otherwise, he would not have happened to be in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. We don't know a whole lot about him. There's some speculation that his family might have years past been dispersed out from the nation of Israel when under the conquering nations came in, and that he was a descendant from a Jewish family that was living in that part of the world. We don't know, but at this point in time, he was coming back to Jerusalem for the Passover. But the other theory is that he was a native African of the city of Cyrene, a dark-skinned man who had come to accept that Yahweh was the true God, and he was, as we said earlier, he was coming to Jerusalem because the Passover festival was about to start. But what we find out here is the distance from Cyrene to Jerusalem is no small distance in those days. It was 1,500 miles. And 1,500 miles, very difficult miles, a difficult journey. If you think about it, we read at Christmas time, we talk about the Magi that came to see Jesus when he was born. The Magi traveled about 800 miles. The distance he traveled to come from Cyrene with his two boys was double that distance. It would have taken him many months to make that journey to Jerusalem, and many months it would have taken to go back home again. He would have been an outsider to there, coming from such a distance. You know, because he's an outsider just arriving, you know, he wouldn't be fully aware of all the things that have been happening in Israel at that time, or specifically in Jerusalem. You know, he hadn't been around in the previous 3 years to see what happened leading up to this moment in time. He'd just be one of thousands of pilgrims who just happened to was deliberately in Jerusalem at that time for the Passover. And as a consequence, you know, he just happened to be there at the right time. We're going to find out a little bit about that. But it's interesting to note that he wasn't the only outsider that encountered Jesus. Jesus' ministry, and you read through it, Jesus met many outsiders. And every outsider Jesus met, their lives were changed forever. You know, an outsider, maybe I'll just take a moment and say what I consider an outsider. Outsider, of course, in Simon's case, would be those that came from foreign lands, perhaps different colored skin. They looked differently. They lived a long way with different cultures. But outsiders in those days also were people that were marginalized or people that were social outcasts, people that weren't accepted. Well, when Jesus met these, for example, Jesus met Zacchaeus. I know Zacchaeus was an Israelite living in the land, but he was a despised and hated tax collector. People didn't want to have anything to do with him. But when Jesus met him, his life changed. He turned into a joyous man. His whole life went in a different direction. You know, Jesus, when he was traveling, he met a Samaritan woman at the well. She came at noon because she was even despised by her own Samaritan citizens. But Jesus met her. He forgave her. She got rid of all her guilt and her shame, and her life was changed. Jesus went up north of Israel into the land of Lebanon. You remember the towns of Tyre and Sidon. He met a Phoenician woman up there. And her daughter had a demon. Jesus delivered the daughter from the demon, and their lives were changed. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee to the region of the Gerasenes. He met a demon-possessed man. He delivered him of the demons, and an interesting thing in that story, not only was his life changed, if you read in the Bible, he was the first person that Jesus commissioned to be a missionary. And you can find the story of that in Mark chapter 5. But on his way to the cross, Jesus meets one more outsider. He meets Simon of Cyrene. So the question is, was Simon changed by this encounter? The Bible doesn't clearly say, but I think we can believe that he was. Every other outsider Jesus met, you read the story about them, their lives was changed forever. Jesus still changes outsiders and changes people. But what else do we know about Simon? We know he was an outsider. We know he's a foreigner. But secondly, let's look at Simon's forced labor. All three Gospels makes it very clear that Simon didn't volunteer to carry Jesus' cross. The Roman soldiers forcibly forced him to pick it up and carry it. In fact, Luke's account says that the Roman soldiers seized Simon. In other words, they hurriedly grabbed him. You know, Simon was entering the city right then, innocently with all the other people right there, and suddenly the Romans come up there, grab him, require him to pick up this heavy cross and continue on in their procession. You know, these soldiers, they were on a schedule. They had a crucifixion to do. They had a job to do. They had to get it done before the Passover. They were in a hurry. And we don't know why specifically of all the passerbys and all the crowds that was in the streets, they picked Simon. We can only speculate. And one speculation is that Simon truly was a North African, dark skin, different looking than the other people on the streets. The Romans were members of the invading armies that was in charge. They thought they were ethnically superior to the people that they were ruling. And they may have picked him just because he was different colored skin and wanted to humiliate him just as they were humiliating Jesus. We don't know. But we do know that here as a Jew, as Simon carried the cross of Jesus, he would have been walking behind Jesus. As he walked along the roads to Golgotha, you know, he would be seeing that same road, seeing the similar perspective that Jesus was seeing as he walked along the road. As he walked along there, you know, he would have seen some of the righteous people standing along the road, weeping as Jesus passed by. He would have saw the vicious people that hated Jesus, taunting him and ridiculing him. And being close up and walking with Jesus, it would have almost felt like some of that attention was being directed at him as well. How could it not? You know, he got kind of a second-hand taste of the burdens Jesus was experiencing as he walked along the road to Golgotha. You know, some commentators kind of make him out to be a saint that he willingly picked up the cross. Others say he did it begrudgingly. We don't know. The scriptures don't say. But the real question is not what was Simon's attitude when he was compelled to do that. The question we ought to ask ourselves is, if we'd been in Simon's shoes, what would we have done? I can tell you for myself, I wouldn't have been too happy to pick up a cross of someone that was considered a criminal's cross and march in that procession all the way to the place where the crucifixions were going to be occurred. You know, if Simon had just arrived in the city of Jerusalem 5 minutes earlier, or if he'd been delayed along the way by 5 minutes, he would have missed that procession, or the procession would have missed him. Or as he got to the city, if he had chosen to take a different street to his destination where he's going, he would have missed it, seeing Jesus. But I don't think it was an accident that he missed Jesus, that he didn't miss Jesus. I think it was a divine appointment by God. You know, God brought him to that very precise spot at that very precise moment so that he could render aid to Jesus. And that was part of God's plan, is what I believe. I don't think there is such thing as accidents or coincidences. The hidden hand of God is always moving. It's always at work in our lives. He's interweaving circumstances. He's orchestrating events behind the scenes that we are not even always aware of. But God has always got some divinely orchestrated result that he wants to happen in our lives. In this case, it's within Simon of Cyrene's life. God's always working through us and in us, whether we're aware of it or not. You know, sometimes we encounter incidents in our lives. We may think, you know, it's just an accident happened or a coincidence. We try to write them off. But, you know, if we could see things through God's perspective, and if we knew all the facts as God knows them, I think then we would actually understand that it wasn't a coincidence. God had a plan. And we just don't always know why. But God's in charge. God's in control. God's in control of you, and God's in control of me. Whether we admit it or not, he is. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps." You know, we make plans, but God can override them if our plans does not match his. You know, this would have been his day changed drastically in a short minute. When he was called to pick up that cross and carry it, it would have been a very shattering, disastrous thing to have happen to him unexpectedly. But you know, we don't understand the summary. It would be actually a bitter blow to his personal dignity to be carrying the cross of a criminal through the streets and have everybody in the streets watch him march through there with all the, not only with Jesus, but with the other two criminals that was also going to be crucified. You know, he's carrying on his shoulders the instrument of death, the cross that's going to be used to crucify a person. It may not mean as much to us, but to him, it meant a whole lot. And I'll tell you why. Because by picking up that cross and carrying it, that would have made him ceremonially unclean. And a person that was ceremonially unclean could not participate in the Passover festivities. Remember, he had just traveled 1,500 miles maybe 6 months getting to Jerusalem so he could be part of, participate in Passover. Maybe a once-in-a-lifetime event for him in those days. And suddenly, in a moment's time, he's now unclean. And his dream of participating in Passover in Jerusalem is shattered. You know, disruptions happen in our lives too. Maybe not as big as what happened to him. Disruptions rarely are fun in our lives. Disruptions prevent us from doing the things we want to do, the things we plan to do. Just think of Jesus' life. Jesus had experienced disruptions too in his ministry and the activities he did. I'm not going to go through all of them because there is more than we could. I'd be here to midnight listing them all. But I'm just two of them examples. Jairus, the synagogue leader, came to Jesus and told him that his daughter was dying and begged and pleaded to Jesus to come to his house to heal his daughter because she was on death's doorstep. So Jesus and his followers headed out with Jairus to Jairus' home. They were in a hurry to get there. But along the way, this lady with an issue of blood comes and interrupts Jesus. Jesus didn't get upset. He didn't tell the lady, I'll be back later. I'm busy right now. I'm taking care of Jairus' daughter. I'll be back later. No, Jesus stopped. He didn't let that disruption change his ministry. He stopped. He helped her, changed her life, and then he continued on to Jairus' house and raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Another time, Jesus and his followers was leaving Jericho. He was teaching them as he went along the way. Right in the middle of teaching, a blind man, blind Bartimaeus, cries out for Jesus. Jesus stopped his teaching. He stopped, went to the side of the road, asked Bartimaeus what he wanted. Bartimaeus wanted to see. Jesus healed him, changed his life. And then Jesus continued on the road, teaching his followers as they continued on. You know, we just don't know in ourselves, you know, that we might find ourselves in situations like Simon, where God puts disruptions in our life. Jesus took a time to start teaching his disciples about what to do. At one point, he taught them in Matthew 5:41, he said, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. We've all heard that statement. It doesn't so much apply to today, but in the Roman times, Roman law says that they could compel any citizen to carry their equipment and their supplies for up to 1 mile. They just had the citizen, when he was told to do it, he had to drop whatever they were doing, immediately take off and start carrying the Roman's equipment for a mile. But Jesus said, when that happens to you, don't be upset over the fact that it disrupted your day or your plans. Not only do it joyfully, but offer to do it a second mile as well. That's easier said than done. Not everything Jesus tells us to do is easy. But, you know, when we are faced with disruptions like that, that's the time for us to pray. Pray to God that He'll give us the strength, the energy, and the desire and the joy to do what's been asked of us and do it with the right attitude. If you can kind of imagine the picture right then, as Simon is following Jesus, carrying his cross, ask yourself this. The Bible doesn't say, but just ask yourself, do you think Jesus was silent, or do you think Jesus spoke to Simon as they walked? I can't tell you definitively, but if I was speculating, I was speculating Jesus spoke to him as they traveled the streets. But I don't know. The question is, did Simon fully know whose cross he was carrying that time? He just arrived from 1,500 miles away. Did he fully know who this man was that he's carrying the cross for? I don't know. When he finished, when they got to Golgotha and he was able to leave, did he go home to his boys and tell them what had happened? I don't know. It doesn't tell. But I think God had a divine plan. And God's divine plan was to choose a man called Simon, that specific man, to be at that specific place at that specific time so that he could encounter Jesus and bring salvation to himself and his family. You know, that may have been God's plan all along, was to introduce Simon to Jesus. Well, I want to move on and now talk about Simon's legacy. We've talked about Simon's origin. We talked about his forced labor. Let's talk about his legacy. Mark, as I mentioned earlier, gave a very specific detail that Matthew and Luke never mentioned. He mentioned that Simon had two sons, Rufus and Alexander. Now, the boys would probably be at least 12 years old or older to make such a journey as they took. We don't know their exact ages. They were certainly would have been with Simon at the time he was compelled to carry the cross. So the question is, we don't know the scriptures. They may have followed along behind and also been there to witness everything. Bible doesn't tell us. But the question is, why would Mark, in this action-packed drama that he writes in his gospel, and why would he stop and add on this little bit of information that Simon had two sons, Rufus and Alexander, with him? Well, I think the point we get right here is, he gave us that information not because we would know, but I think the readers of his gospel that he was writing, he was the first one to write a gospel, he knew that the people of his day would know who he is talking about. Kind of what he's saying is, if you want to know more details of what happened, go and ask Rufus and Alexander what happened. They were there. And the people would have known who they were. You know, so it's kind of an interesting thing is, when you read later on in the scriptures and you get in the book of Romans, and Paul writes this long treatise to Romans that we've been studying here on Sunday mornings, Paul concludes the letter of Romans in Romans 16:13. It says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." I can't say definitively they're the same, but many of the theologians believe that that is the same Rufus that Mark's referencing here in his gospel. And if they are, then it's quite obviously that by the time that Paul wrote his letter, that both Rufus and his mother were Christians. And that they were both, at that time, living in Rome and serving the Lord, and they were well known by the Christians in Rome. So, you know, we don't know. Am I just making that assumption? Why would Mark put that detail in unless he wanted us to know that the people knew Rufus? And he's an important person in the story and would be to the church. You know, after Jesus was resurrected, we read in Acts 2:10, that was the time of the day of the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down on the believers that was meeting in Jerusalem. And it starts listing the people that were there, and it mentions in that day of Pentecost that there was, I lost my train of thought here for just a second here. It mentions that there were Christians in that crowd from Cyrene. Now, considering that Cyrene was 1,500 miles away, and that's a long distance in biblical times, I can't imagine there'd be many people from Cyrene in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost meeting with the disciples. It's quite likely that the people that was in that meeting was Simon and his two sons, Rufus and Alexander. It'd be easy to make that assumption considering that. But you know, you look at there, if that is still the same Rufus that Paul's writing about, just think of what he had to not only have made that trip with his father to Jerusalem, but he and his mother and maybe the rest of the family had packed up their stuff in northern Africa, journeyed to Rome, and was now living in Rome, serving there essentially in a missionary capacity. The Christians in Rome knew who Rufus was. Very much like modern missionaries today. You know, they leave their homes here in America and everything else and their families, and they go to a foreign land, and the whole purpose of going there is serving the Lord and sharing the gospel messages with people in a foreign land. What a great example that is there of someone that they're so committed after they're being changed by Jesus that they would go to a foreign land, to the city of Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire, and live such examples that Paul specifically calls them out as a great example. What a testimony to them. So I think there really is a good belief here that Simon of Cyrene really was changed on the day that he carried Jesus' cross. When he was initially called to do it, I don't think he was happy about it initially. As I mentioned earlier, he missed out on the Passover celebration because he was unclean. Not only had to go through there and embarrassed by carrying a convict's cross through the streets and other people cheering, jeering as he walked by, but he was there and watched an innocent man be crucified. But his time with Jesus right then, I think, would have made all the more meaningful when 3 days later the news came out in Jerusalem that Jesus was now alive. The man he'd walked to the cross with was now alive. I think his life took a whole new different direction then. It started when they walked to Golgotha and was completely changed by the time the news of Jesus' resurrection occurred. Very much like the story of Saul. Remember? Saul started out persecuting Christians. He encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. That started a change in his life. And it culminated when Ananias came and prayed for him and his eyesight was restored. He was a changed man from that point forward. Even his name changed. I think the same thing happened to Simon and his sons in this story right here, even though we don't have a lot of details in the scriptures to back that up. But on the way to the cross, Jesus utilized Simon's strength to carry the cross. But after Jesus' resurrection, Simon lived the rest of his life in the strength of Jesus, as we should be doing today. You know, there's a lot of mystery about him. We don't know a lot of details. And I'm looking forward to the day up in heaven when I can talk to him face to face and get his take on the situation and find out more details. I think it'd be an interesting conversation. But looking back, I think he would now say it was an honor to have carried Jesus' cross. He may not have thought at the time he did it, but looking back, it is. And for ourselves, when we go through these disruptions in our life, when they first hit, we don't see that as an honor, but I think as we look back later on and see God's plan is in effect, it is an honor to do what God wanted us to do. You know, there's other mentions of people from Cyrene in the scriptures. I don't know if they specifically mention Simon and his family or not, but in Acts chapter 7, it mentions that some Christians who were originally from Cyrene were in Jerusalem at the time that Stephen was martyred, and they, because of the persecution, had to leave, and they went to Antioch, and they were the ones that began talking to the people in Antioch and sharing the gospel message with the people there. And then in Acts chapter 13, we read that one of the leaders in Antioch, the Christian leaders of the church, was a man called Lucius of Cyrene. Well, kind of in conclusion here, we don't know a lot about Simon of Cyrene, but we do get some good lessons right there. We need to be willing to serve the Lord in whatever happens in our life, whatever disruptions come. You know, we're not to seek to be known, have a name for ourselves. We're really to seek to bless the Lord in what we do. You know, sometimes we may feel that what we're doing are just simply a name. We're not getting noticed for the behind-the-scenes things we're doing for the Lord. And that's all right. Because it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's about what I do for God. That's our focus. Sometimes we make a mistake. We get looking at ourselves, you know. We want people to notice us. We want to be in the limelight sometimes, be recognized, people to thank us. But that's wrong. Everything we got is a gift from God. Proverbs 15:3 says, we read that the Lord is continually keeping watch over us. You catch that? The Lord is continually watching over us. We are serving an audience of one. We should be serving the Lord. We're not unknown to God. God sees everything we do. And that's who we should really be cared about, who pleasing, not pleasing people, but pleasing God. You know, Luke 9:23 says, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, do we follow Jesus in our suffering moments? Do we bring honor to Jesus' name by carrying our cross for him? You know, we should be doing it, it says, because we should love him because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. Jesus carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. We should consider it a joy to carry the weight of our crosses daily. So here's some questions really to kind of ponder as you leave here. You know, what crosses do you have the opportunity to carry this week? And what's your attitude when you're faced with a cross in your life? Do you see your crosses in your life and these disruptions as a burden or an opportunity to serve God? You know, there's a difference there. When those disruptions happen in our life, as they did in Simon's, just consider a possibility that God has a different plan for you, different than what you had. Be open to the possibility that God's a different plan and be willing to accept it and do it with the right attitude. That's easier. I know it's easier said than done, but that's what God wants us to do. So as we go our lives here, let's kind of look at the example of Simon and his life. I know I speculated some, but I don't think I'm so far off from what the Bible teaches right here. So let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you, God, that you watch over each one of us, God, that everything we do is viewed by you, God. May we be willing, Lord, to allow disruptions to come into our life, God. May we allow your plans to overshadow the plans that we have, God. May we seek to honor you more than we seek, Lord, to put ourselves first. May we be willing, God, to even be in the background, behind the scenes, God, if your name is honored more. We'd be willing to serve you in any ways that you'd have us do, Lord. Thank you, God, for the things that you put in the Word to help us grow, Lord. May we be like Simon. May we be willing to carry a cross for you willingly, even if it means that we suffer some embarrassment and shame for doing it. But may we do it for your sake, God. And may you change our lives. May we become more like you as we live our lives. And may we, as we approach this Easter season, be more aware of the great sacrifice you did on our behalf, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you all.